Next speaker is Xavier. He was introduced yesterday, so I won't do it again. So today is nonlinear elliptic and Fisher KPP equations with fractional diffusion.
Thank you. So, well, thanks for the opportunity to speak twice. Three times would be too much, because it's not that I could continue with other topics. Anyway, these are the main two topics I'm working on. The one I spoke about yesterday, and this one for longer time, in fact. So I'm going to tell you about fractional diffusion. I will start with some elliptic results that already started time ago. I will tell you some recent elliptic developments by other people, not me, related to my work also. And then the Fisher KPP homogeneous and heterogeneous model that I work with, fractional diffusion that I work with Jean-Michel and Charlene. Okay. So, okay, you all know this, but let me just, in case somebody, just remind you that when in classical diffusion, Brownian motion looks like that, and this is a picture for, well, this in fact looks like, this looks like Brownian coupled with jumps, right? So, in fact, the more realistic thing, so I will describe, and you've seen many works with just treating this operator, but the most realistic thing is to have this operator, or a combination of several fractions of the Laplacian, plus a diffusion term, okay? You put a bill, a euro bill, You look where it is, and most of the time it diffuses like a Brownian way. And whenever somebody takes a train or on an aeroplane, then it makes the jump. Okay, so just keep that in mind. Okay, well, so this fractional diffusion appears in many places in finance. Also in dislocations, in free boundary problems, so in elasticity. And also there are many works by, mainly by physicists, right, who were experimental or heuristic reasons to model some fluids, or even biology, of course. Well, biology is another reason, by fractional diffusions. Biology is clear, the jumps like this, quite clear. There are many theses and long and even books talking about this. For instance, I have a paper in Nature about sharks, experimental data about sharks in the North Sea, so close to France and between France and England, and when there is a lot of food, they behave in a Brownian way, and when food there is few food or scarce, then they observe these long trips, okay, and they also with experimental data you can predict the exponent. Okay, and it seems that there are a couple or three exponents that have been seen repeatedly, or more often with a biological species. Okay, but it's not known why. Okay, so from the probability point of view or the mathematical point of view, you can see the fractional Laplacian or the fractional heat equation very easily as a limit. Okay. So again, start with a lattice. Suppose that you are here, and you can now not move only to the nearest neighbors, which is would give you Brownian motion, but also you can jump. Okay, and now this is Sorry, this is Brownian. In the Brownian case, this is time, this space, you can only go to your left or to your right with probability 1/2. So the probability to arrive at this point at time t plus delta t is the probability to be here is just, if you're here, it's just because in the time before you were there or there. So this is Einstein argument, which is Bachelier argument, right, I think. The probability to be here is 1/2 of the probabilities at previous time on the left and on the right. You divide by delta t, you must you subtract u of x t, which is the probability in this point that didn't appear in the reasoning. You subtract that on the two sides, and you divide by delta t. You assume that delta t is proportional to the increment space squared, and you get the heat equation, okay? And the same you can do when there are jumps. Now there is a certain probability to jump from this point to this other one. This is the integer lattice with step h, but the probability does not depend on h, of course. If you change, if you make the lattice smaller, the probability to jump from this to the 1, 2, 3, 4 point, the fourth nearest point or something like this, will not depend on h. So it only depends on k. And these, again, condition probabilities, you subtract the value at the same point at the previous time. This adds up to 1, so you can subtract here. And now, for instance, take that this probability is a power distribution summing up to 1. And you make the computation. It's very simple, and you obtain this. You suppose now that time increment is proportional to a power, this power. If not, it wouldn't. There would be not a continuous limit of this of the space step, and you get a Riemann sum, which is just an integral when you send tau or h to 0. And this is the definition up to a constant of the fractional Laplacian. Okay. You all know this. Is with a minus here, perhaps? Let's see. The minus Laplacian. So if I put it here, it's the Laplacian. So there should be a minus, right? Yes. Well. Well, if s is equals 1, this has to be the Laplacian. Okay, so there is a minus. By the way, then this is like the first order way to write with a principal value the fractional Laplacian. You can symmetrize this with y and minus y, and you get a second order expression here, a second order increment in the definition of the fractional Laplacian. Okay? And if you would put now another kernel, perhaps non-constant, depending on x, then you would have a non-constant coefficient equation that would be like divergence form. And if you put it here, it would be would be another operator, and it would be non-divergence form. Okay, for these operators, like Harnack inequalities, Holder regularity have been developed. Two parallel theories. Okay. With non-constant coefficients. So this is the fractional Laplacian, and now this has divergence form. So if you multiply by u, and integrate in space, you get exactly this, which is, say, the main part in the HS norm. Just take your the HS semi-norm would be this quantity, a double integral of these squares. Okay. This would be the full semi-norm. If you from the same computation, if you make Fourier transform, you see that the symbol of the fractional Laplacian has to be this, of course. S is always between 0 and 1 in this talk. Half Laplacian, the half Laplacian composed with itself is going to be the Laplacian, of course. And you can see it as a local, it has a local representation if you pay the price to add one more variable. So we are here in Rn, but now let's add one more and look at this problem. Harmonic functions here with a certain value trace on the boundary. And now for a function like this, make the flux, compute its flux, outward flux, and I claim that if the function is harmonic, that is going to be, that flux is going to be the half Laplacian of the trace, okay, of the trace. And that's very simple. You all know, let me just check that if I do twice this, I get the Laplacian. If I do twice this, okay, I make the flux, which is the Vy. I have to make the harmonic extension now of Vy, but the harmonic extension of Vy is Vy itself, because V is harmonic. So when you make it twice, you get Vyy, which is, since V is harmonic, you get Vyy is minus the Laplacian on the bottom, which is the operator. So to solve this, which is a non-local problem, is the same as solving this. And in fact, this is what I was working in with a nonlinear reaction here, like in 2001. And I'll talk about this. It was a problem suggested to me in a half space, in a half space by Solà Morales, a collaborator in Barcelona. And then I was in Austin. I spoke with Luis Caffarelli very much about the problem, the reaction problem. And one day he came to me because came to me and said, "Okay, this what we are doing is the half Laplacian on the bottom." And then that was nice to know. And okay, that was the beginning, very much, pretty much. So boundary reactions again. What I was saying is this problem, right? For instance, in a domain, harmonic functions with a nonlinear boundary reaction, so Neumann equals to this, it has an energy. Now, the difficulty is that the Dirichlet energy is computed inside and the potential energy only on the boundary. So the interaction between these two terms is more subtle, and it's the non-local character in a way. If you restrict the problem to the boundary, for instance, because once you know the solution on the boundary, you make the harmonic extension and that's it, okay? So the point is to know the solution on the boundary. You want to study this, which is like phase transitions, right? Phase transitions, monostable, bistable, whatever. Well, to study what happens really near a point where there is a transition, a fast transition, when epsilon goes to zero, you make a blow up. At that point, the domain is going to be flatter and flatter. You arrive to the half space with a boundary, a nonlinear boundary reaction on the bottom, and that's the problem I was telling you that we were studying. Okay, so information about this will tell you how transitions are in the bounded domain problem. Okay, this has a name when f is bistable. In particular, when f is exactly this nonlinearity, bistable nonlinearity, the sinus, this is called the Peierls-Navarro problem in dislocation of crystals. Say it's a simple model in dislocations. And this is what we were studying, starting to study around 2000 with Joan Solà Morales. One more? Yes. This is an explicit solution. I mean, we could do many things. This is a paper in CPAM in 2005. We could do many things thanks to with the help that for this nonlinearity there is an explicit solution. It helped us a lot because then after we treated general F, more general Fs, and it's the instead of the hyperbolic tangent in the Allen-Kahn model, here it's the arctangent. The arctangent. So it's this, it's the angle. You see, take a point very close to the origin here, 0 minus epsilon, and look at the angle that goes from minus pi over 2, make it go from minus 1 to 1. It makes the transition very fast. You see, if epsilon is very small, all the transition is here, and it's this guy, fast transition. Okay, and the limits, 1 and minus 1, are achieved as 1 over x. Right, that's 1 over x instead of exponentially. In the interior reactions, the limits are achieved always exponentially. Okay. Later, 2007, Luis discovered a local way to see all other fractional Laplacians. So you can see any other fraction of the fractional Laplacian as a flux for this other problem. You give me the function you want to compute its fractional Laplacian, you make the S-harmonic extension, so let me call it like that. S-harmonic extension will mean the solution of this problem when there is this weight, y to the 1 minus 2s, y is positive, that degenerates or blows up at y equals 0 depending of s less than 1 half, less bigger, s bigger than 1 half. And then you make the real flux associated to this, which is this quantity here. You all know this, okay? I can study semilinear problems for the fractional Laplacian. They will be exactly equivalent to this, which is a local problem, but the energy, again, now has a weight here, and this is Dirichlet energy above, and below or in the bottom, the potential energy, okay? And you know that the point is that the competition among guys, say, when you make you consider the concept of minimizers, the competition is that, for instance, if you are in a half space and you have a candidate to be minimizer, who is the candidate? V is competing. This is a U, this is a V. V is competing with guys W, who should be equal to V, this is a V, on wherever the part above, okay? And the new thing is that below, you are free, okay? Because there is no Dirichlet condition here, there is a Neumann condition, so here you are free, and you are competing with these guys which are free here, and therefore, the potential energy is different here, for V and W, okay? Also the Dirichlet energy, but they agree here, okay? So that's a game. And with the Leonora Cinti, this is the first result I want to tell you, 2010, we found, for first time, now there are other proofs, we work with the extension. It's quite painful paper, especially when S is not 1/2. Sharp energy estimate for minimizers, independently of what F is, say. Whatever F is, any bounded minimizer is going to have these upper bounds. Here the key point is to have the upper bound, to prove the upper bound for the energy in a half ball. And it goes like, you see, when S is equals 1, it goes like, it's known that for interior reactions, the upper bound, which was proved by Ambrosio and myself, in fact, which is not easy, neither in the interior reaction, if you want to do it for every F. Well, sorry, for minimizers is very easy, sorry. For minimizers, you see, in the interior reaction, it's very easy, interior reaction. Take a ball, you have a minimizer with some boundary value, the minimizer is bounded, say, between minus 1 and 1. Just fill almost all the ball by 1, by 1 or by the guy who has zero potential energy by a constant up to radius r minus 1. And then from r minus 1 to r, just accommodate to the boundary values. You will not pay any Dirichlet or potential energy in the ball of radius r minus 1. And the annulus from r minus 1 to r has measure rn minus 1. Okay? So that's how you prove the energy estimate. It's very simple. For minimizers in the interior reaction, S equals 1. And that was known for a very long time, of course. It just calculated. I mean, it's, what I did with Ambrosio was to prove it for monotone solutions that at that time we didn't know that they were minimizers, in fact. Well, if they don't have limits, it's still not known if they are minimizers or not. So there is an open question there. But here with Eleonora, what we did is for minimizers. So you have to cook up also a comparison function in the extension, accommodate for boundary values, and put something here. It's going to be like S harmonic. It's not so simple, and you get this result at the end. From S, from 1/2, not included, to 1, same estimate done. And all these estimates are sharp in the sense that to prove the lower bound is very simple to prove the lower bound, okay? With different constants, with a smaller constant, the lower bound is very simple. The point is the upper bound. For s equals 1/2, you take this, you get this logarithm value, and when s is less than 1/2, you get this. Of course, this constant depends on s, and as s goes to 1/2, it explodes and it produces this logarithm with the exponent here. Huh? So this constant depends on s. We also have it in the paper. Okay, so this is an upper bound. And with this upper bound, we could prove this, which is still now the best result, and it's far, very far from what one can expect. This is a result about regularity of interfaces, or if you think after the blow-up, for the problem in the half space below, it's in the whole space, it's at the Georgi-type result, which says, forever, whatever f is, global minimizers in all space are functions of only one variable, Euclidean variable, that you don't know what it is, if, what is this? This, here it's missing n equals 2, okay? If n equals 2 for any fraction, and in higher dimensions, the only thing that is still known is this one, n equals 3, and s between 1/2 and 1. So, so we just suspect that one should go to higher dimensions and smaller fractions, but still no proof. So the hint to where you can go to up to will be given by. Will be given on and only given by the study of fractional minimal surfaces, okay? Because if you in this equation you put an 1 over epsilon to the s here and you make like a gamma, a limit when the epsilon goes to 0, you should converge to what are called fractional minimal surfaces. And the point is that the regularity theory for fractional minimal surfaces is still not understood. It's far from understood, from being understood. Okay.
But are there examples in higher dimensions of singular fractional minimal surfaces?
Which are minimizers? Okay. What there is mainly, well, there are some regularity results by Valdinocci and Caffarelli where for S very close to 1, and then you can go up to dimension 8 as in the classical minimal surfaces. Then by Savina and Valdinocci in dimension 2, all minimal surfaces in the plane, fractional minimal surfaces, are lines, just straight lines. So that's great and corresponds exactly to this result. And in higher dimension 3, there is nothing, and there is only one paper by Manuel Del Pino, Junsheng Wei, and Kowalczyk, I think, and Davila, where they started studying minimal cones, okay? And it seems that dimension 7 could be a critical thing, but they don't make a full analysis because it's very difficult. They do some examples, they look at the Simons cone. Okay, there is still, they cannot prove that the Simons cone, which is a stationary surface, is minimal. Still missing in the argument, they say that they could produce the foliation, that's what you have to do in dimension 8 or 9, 8 or something like this, but they cannot produce it because like a gradient bound, like the Georgi gradient bound for minimal surfaces is missed, something like this. So some elliptic estimates they are missing to construct the foliation. That's what they told me, but something equivalent, that is a very nice problem, to the Georgi, I think it's a Georgi, right? Yeah. Then there are other proofs. The Georgi gradient bound with the log of for minimal surfaces. On the other hand, it's not so clear, Enrico Valdinocci is the person who has looked more at the connection of these. There are no real results, but it's not so clear if for s less than 1, the Allencan problem or the reaction problem is so close to minimal surfaces or not to fractional minimal surfaces as in the, as S equals one. It's not so clear. There could be. So we are very far from still here, very far. But the problem is tough because for fractional, the fractional case, to build sub-solutions and super-solutions is can be quite tough. For minimal surfaces, to analyze its their stability or minimality is tough because the second variation of the second variation already gets very involved. Many terms when you make the second variation for minimal surfaces, for instance.
So there is no analogous of Sabine's result here.
No. This is the only thing that is known.
Some people have tried to repeat the same.
No, but for Sabine's result, you need Sabine's result relies on the classification of the cones.
Right.
So Sabine's result makes a blow up here and goes to the well, makes some limiting argument, and at the end he gets a minimal surface, and he must know that it is a hyperplane.
Yeah.
So Sabine results uses the theory of minimal surfaces, okay? Which is not available here.
Sorry, I forgot the hypothesis on F.
No matter what F. This is true for no matter what F. So this the Georgi type results in low dimensions. This is in dimension 2. And this was in the interior reaction. This was started by was proved by Gossoup, Gui, it's already in the papers of Henri, Louis, and Louis Nirenberg. And then this is my paper with Ambrosio for S equals one. These are rigidity results. You can prove them for any F. Then in higher dimensions, you need to know that F is bistable or things like this in Sabine's result. Precisely to go to the minimals to go to connect to minimal surfaces. Okay. And this I go now back in time. I go back to the work with Juan Sola Morales, who was for S equals 1/2, and then all that we extended with Yannick Thia. These are two papers with Yannick Thia. Everything is in archive or in my webpage, but in archive I put everything there for all fractions. And in these works, there is a very nice ingredient, which is this Hamiltonian thing, and I want to tell you very recent applications of this Hamiltonian inequalities and equalities. What we proved with Joan and then with Yannick is that if you take a reaction diffusion equation like this in all space, in R, let's focus now in R, there exists a solution U that increases from minus 1 to 1 if and only if, when you put S equals 1 for this nonlinearity, it exists. And this is well known, integrating the ODE, that this is equivalent to the fact that plus and minus ones are critical points of the potential, capital G is the primitive of minus F, critical points with the same height, so balanced nonlinearity, and G is strictly above this height, minimal height, in between minus one and one. And it can be very strange, G can oscillate a lot, but you just need to have higher energy than minus one and one, okay? This equivalence is very simple, just integrating the ODE. And what we prove is that this is equivalent to that, okay? This is equivalent to that. And the most innovative part, the most delicate part, is to prove if this exists, then the potential or the nonlinearity has to satisfy all this. And this is proved using new Hamiltonian equality. So why speak about here about Hamiltonian? Okay, this is what I realized with Juan Sola Morales, and it was very, very useful. If not, you cannot prove the previous theorem. This problem has a Hamiltonian structure, okay? When you look at the extension, you look at the extension way to see the problem, and I will tell you what is the Hamiltonian extension. Structure is very simple. X is time. And in a it's a Hamiltonian in infinite dimensions. The position, Q, is at every time, which is X, the function, your harmonic function, your harmonic function, at this value of X, the values of the function on this half line, okay? This half line. I'm in the case n equals 1. This is position. If I know position, I can compute an internal energy, which is UY. UY is not going to be a kinetic energy. It's going to be an internal energy. Because if you give me one guy of like this at some time, I can compute UY. But I cannot compute UX. So UY is going to be potential energy. And there will be another term in the potential energy, which is the value of the potential on the base. And kinetic energy is derivative with respect to time in a Hamiltonian. Kinetic energy is derivative with respect to time. Time is the same as X, is this, that I don't know, and you will prescribe initially if you want to start the Hamiltonian. So you see, the Lagrangian, because the energy, we already know it, is the sum of potential of kinetic plus potential energy. There are three terms. Kinetic is ux squared plus potential, and potential has two terms, uy squared and potential, classical potential, on the bottom, okay? And when you have a Lagrangian, you got the Hamiltonian, you know what it is. You have to make kinetic minus potential. Kinetic minus potential. So, next. So, kinetic, which is only Vx squared, minus potential, minus this and minus this. So this is the Hamiltonian. This is the Hamiltonian. With instead of a plus, a minus. Here, and instead of plus, a minus. And if you write Hamilton's equations, you find exactly this problem. So they are equivalent. Okay. Nobody still has done a work like trying to settle rigorously this Hamiltonian in a rigorous way. This Hamiltonian structure in some subtle of spaces. It depends if you want, I don't know, which type of solutions are you looking at, okay? Well, I've not seen that, but anyway, here we care about increasing solutions, and then we just use this quantity to prove things like this. If you have an increasing solution, which is bound from going from minus 1 to plus 1, no matter what f is, if you compute its harmonic extension, s harmonic extension, then there is a Hamiltonian is preserved. This means that the Hamiltonian is preserved, means that the Hamiltonian, which is this plus that, or minus that, is the same as at infinity. Time is x. Time infinity is x going to infinity. You go to 1, no kinetic energy, just potential energy of the bottom. So you see, this Hamiltonian is conserved. And the Hamiltonian, it's an integration from 0 to plus infinity in this vertical line of this quantity. At time, t equals x. dz is vertical. And this is a Hamiltonian estimate, very, very needed to prove the results. That if instead of integrating up to plus infinity, you integrate up to y, for every y, there is an strict inequality. And this will allow you to prove that qualitative property about the potential that g is strictly higher than that. A necessary and sufficient condition, okay? Let me tell you two open problems here, nice open problems. This reminds of the modica, well, it's the analog of the modica gradient estimate for interior reactions. That tells you, if you have a solution of minus Laplacian of u equals f of u in Rn, u bounded, no matter what f is, simply take its potential to be positive, then modica estimate tells you one half of gradient u square, pointwise in Rn, is less or equal than the potential. at that point, the potential value at that point. It's modic estimate in Rn. And here, it's still open. Something like that in Rn, still open. We can only prove in dimension one. Okay? Well, in dimension n, there are results when for radial solutions, but it's like a 1D problem. But for non-radial solutions, this is open. And another open problem, that's what I always wanted to solve with Joan Solá-Morales, we don't know it even for the half Laplacian, is that if you have a solution of this equation, no matter what f is, a bounded solution, say from minus 1 to 1 in R, then an entire solution of this equation with n equals 1, bounded from minus 1 to 1, then it is either increasing or even, it's a ground state, so it has a maximum at some point or a minimum, and then it is even, and it's radially decreasing, or it is periodic. This is true when s equals 1. Very simple to prove. When s equals 1 half or s between 0 and 1, we still don't know it, okay? So that's an open problem.
Actually, can you prove the existence of the periodic solution for us?
Yes. In fact, let me tell you. Well, to prove existence, I think you could do it also, yes, for some f's, like a general, quite general f. I mean, depending on the structure of f, yeah, you could
do. Could you get it by simply making a perturbation argument around zero? That's probably one way to
yes,
get it.
Yes. You could do that. You could do that, for sure. Let me tell you another thing. You see, it has Hamiltonian structure, this, and then I had this, for the Peierls-Navarro equation, there are explicit solutions, okay? And then there is another one, nonlinearity. This is the sinus. Then there is another one for which, very important in fluids, the Benjaminian equation, for which also explicit solutions exist. And it's half Laplacian of u equals minus u plus u square. Minus u plus u square, okay? And for this solution, then there are works by Amy Cantolan, who prove that for minus u plus u squared, the Benjaminian equation in fluids, there is a ground state, okay? There is a ground state, and there are periodic solutions. And in their paper, they also prove that those are the only solutions for the Benjaminian, and they are explicit. In fact, they can compute them with a very involved non-local complex variables transformation, okay? And for the Peierls-Navarro, they also prove that there is this arctangent, and there are periodic solutions, okay? This is the bistable case, so there is the heteroclinic, and here there are the limit circles, which are periodic solutions. And they could also find them explicitly. So this was very funny, and then it was Frédéric Elan in Paris who was working infinite-dimensional Hamiltonian systems and all this, said, no, it's not surprising. This means that this nonlinearity, is completely integrable. It gives you a completely integrable Hamiltonian system, and that's why all the solutions can be computed. And if there is that, I cannot tell him still about Benjamin or not, because I wanted to compute more solutions, okay? Be able to compute more solutions, explicit or for other Fs. I thought initially when I was working with John Solá-Morales that for other F I could compute in some way using complex variables. Because I have the harmonic extension, I have a harmonic function in the half plane, it has a complex conjugate, you can look for holomorphic functions. But for other f, I could compute, and I don't know, maybe it's true, but then Frédéric said, okay, all solutions are known, that means that it's completely integrable, and then he told me, well, if that's the case, there should be another equation which is also completely integrable. Because in Hamiltonian systems, completely integrable guys come in pairs, which is called the Lax pair. And I told him, yes, there is the Benjaminono, which is also completely integrable, and this is Amik and Tolan. Okay, so it's still not known if there are other Fs for which you could compute explicit solutions or not. Okay, I don't know, it would be nice.
Are these two equations related in the reason? it should be for having a large scale?
Yeah, in fact, yes. But I don't know if this has been, well, I'm sure, we are sure. But we don't know if this has been explored by anybody. Like to really, this one should, yeah, I don't know, that's common, or, well, one should look at the papers in more detail. Papers are involved because
the paper of Langerton is very, very important.
Yes, the way to compute the exact solutions that give a formula, rather explicitly some integrals of course, it's very involved. And I don't know if nobody has, if anybody has seen that they are really in lax per correspondence or not.
So I'm. So was it different?
Well, yeah, the nonlinearity, one is of by a stable type, and the other is of type fan power for classical, for to have a ground state. So, okay. So one open problem, the modica estimate in higher dimensions. Another open problem, in one dimension, all solutions of reaction diffusion equations in the line bounded solutions are either increasing, even ground states, gradually decreasing, or periodic solutions. I think we are close to that, to prove that, but. So now let me go. And let me tell you something else. So these Hamiltonian estimates have been used in two recent papers, which I consider quite nice, especially the second one. The first is the problem that I mentioned yesterday to Laurent, which is a paper by Caffarelli, Antoine Mellet, and Yannick Sir, which treats harmonic functions in a half plane, so R2 plus, and ignition type Neumann boundary condition on the bottom. Okay, and for that they prove simply, if you want, it's modest, but okay, it's still a proof. It's not simple. They prove the existence of traveling waves. Okay, of traveling waves, and for that they use one of the key ingredients is to use this equality and Hamiltonian equality and inequality. And then more recent and very valuable paper is the one by Frank Rupert and Enno Lenzmann and Luis Silvestre, where they finally solve an important problem in fractional reaction diffusion equations that was already posed to me. It was posed to me for the first time by Carlos Koenig when we were in Barcelona in that school, so 2008, okay? The question is, take the classical nonlinearity for which ground state exists, so it is like the Benjamin Ono, minus fractional Laplacian of u equals minus u plus u to a power bigger than one. It is easy to prove that there is a ground state which is radially symmetric in Rn, radially symmetric for the fractional Laplacian. You prove that, okay. It is a radially symmetric function with a maximum and decays to zero at infinity. Prove the uniqueness, okay, that was very important. Also, if you look at evolution problems, try to prove the uniqueness and non-degeneracy of this guy. And this has been recently proved. You find it in archive. Well, it was first proved by Rupert and Frank and Enno Lenzmann in dimension 1. And this is a paper in Annals of Math or Acta Mathematica, I don't know. Now, in the radially symmetric case, they can prove the uniqueness among radially symmetric functions. Any solution like that is going to be radially symmetric. You do the moving planes, that's okay. They prove the uniqueness and non-degeneracy, okay? And the key point, and they give us a lot of credit, which is nice, but the key point is that they realize that in the radially symmetric case, this is in R, but in Rn, with a radially symmetric, you don't have an equality, but you have that this minus this is monotone decreasing on the radius or monotone increasing, I don't remember. So a monotone quantity. And that's a key point one of the key points in their paper. So if you didn't know about that paper, that's very nice paper. So now let me go to to front propagation. I can go faster because probably most of you know very all this stuff very well. For fraction, for the standard Laplacian, no need to say anything to you here. Traveling wave solutions for the classical KPP, the Kolmogorov-Petrovsky-Piskunov result. This is a plus, sorry, x plus ct. The front goes from the increasing solution from the right to the left. So the front is situated here at first order, c star times t. C star is this, and so this x plus ct, okay? And in Rn, fronts with compact support, for instance, initial conditions with compact support propagate at the same speed, c star, in all directions, and the level sets become rounder and rounder, same speed as in for monotone solutions, okay, in the classical case. Now, for fractional diffusions, this is a paper with Jean-Michel. Same equation, KPP, but now with a fractional Laplacian here. This already appeared in Communications on Mathematical Physics, okay? It's nice to publish in that. I'm happy that we could publish in that journal. Because there were, the names will appear next, there were papers by physicists that predicted this. This is also a plus, sorry. That predicted this. That if you start in R in one dimension with an increasing initial condition, the front will propagate to the left at an exponential in time position, like this. And the sigma should be, the critical sigma is this sigma that I call here double star, which is given by this formula, and I will give you now how you compute this formula, how you predict it. F prime of 0 divided by 2s, or 2 alpha. Alpha is s, is the fraction. And this is the typical thing. I could have written this better with limits and limsup, and later it will appear with limits and limsups. This for the people who are not so, this is not for you, but for the people, sometimes it's good to write like this for people who are not so. But anyway, so they travel exponentially fast like this at first order, and that had been announced by papers that Jean-Michel discovered some years ago by several people. This is a nice one, people in Rome 1, physicists in Rome 1, Mancinelli, Berni, Pulpiani, where they also talk about the thing about fluids and anomalous diffusions or fractional diffusions for fluids, and they have experimental data and things like this. And here they predict this in a very heuristic way, but there is no math proof. I will tell you the heuristic way later on. It's very simple. It's like in the classical KPP. And also the papers by Del Castillo, Negrete, Carreras, Lynch. Okay. So that's what we prove in dimension one with Jean-Michel. I'll tell you about proof later. Remember this speed, okay? Sigma double star. What if you start in Rn with a compactly supported initial datum between 0 and 1? You also propagate exponentially in time, but the exponent sigma changes. It's smaller. It's smaller. So this is a first, this is in the, it's n plus 2 alpha. In dimension 1, it's 1 plus 2 alpha. This is a first feature that does not appear in with Brownian diffusion. When you have increasing data, the tail here, the population here, which is full of population here, and the jumps make that this tail, full of people here, make the front on the bottom, the leading edge, go faster than a compactly supported, where in the right there is no population. And this doesn't happen for Brownian, but it happens when there is diffusion, when there are jumps. Okay. The heuristics are this, like for classical diffusion. You linearize at the leading edge. You have a linear equation. You kill this term with the exponential in time factor, and then you solve for a delta. And so you take the fundamental solution, and okay, the fundamental solution is not a Gaussian now, but it looks like it behaves like this function, which is a power tail distribution, okay, with the right scaling in space and time from my first transparency with the jumps, right? And then when at infinity, this behaves like that. This should compensate, V is between 0 and 1. This guy should compensate that. This should be of order 1, you expect, at the leading edge at least. And you solve for x, and you get this first approximation of where the front should be, and predicts the exponential with the right correct exponent for compactly supported data, or in decreasing in both sides, and it gives this extra factor. And in the paper with Jean-Michel, we saw that this factor is wrong. It doesn't appear, in fact, okay? Because we could prove with Jean-Michel that in a very specific case, dimension 1 and the fractional Laplacian 1/2, fraction equals 1/2, this term is not there, and all the level sets of any solution starting with a compactly supported, for instance, initial data, all the level sets are trapped between this times a large constant and this times a small constant. And the proof, I will tell you later, it uses very delicate soup and super solutions, and we could only make it work for n equals 1/2, for n equals 1 and s equals 1/2. But then Charlene came and helped us very much. So it has a very important contribution on this. And the surprising thing is that the method of super solutions, combined with some ideas that I will describe now, also work in heterogeneous periodic media, okay? And that's very, very nice. So, in a way, the fractional diffusion, right, makes that this is not, the periodic media is not so relevant, in a way, okay? But it is relevant. The speeds of propagation will depend on the periodic media, okay? In a very subtle way that you will see now. It's already here. Almost. Take the birth rate, right, to be strictly positive but periodic in all variables, and take lambda 1, the principal periodic eigenvalue of the linearized operator, okay. If mu is equals 1, the first periodic eigenvalue is minus 1, and remember, this was the speed of the exponent in the exponential speed of propagation. If lambda 1 is greater or equal than 0, everything goes to 0 for large times. If lambda 1 is negative, it's an interesting case. The solutions in compact sets converge uniformly as time goes to infinity to the unique stationary solution, of this problem. This was proved in these papers of Henri, Luca, and Jean-Michel. So assume lambda 1 is negative. Start with compact supported data. What we can prove with Anne-Charlene and Jean-Michel is that every level set, no, not every. Still there is an open problem here, right? But quite good, from not only small lambda between 0 and the minimum of mu, which is strictly positive. For every level set there, the level set, where is it? It's trapped. Yeah, the level set is included here. So it's trapped, the level set is trapped between exactly the same exponential with two constants, small constant and large constant. So again, heuristics predicted wrong. The open problem would be to be able to prove this up to a larger quantity than this, which is the minimum of U plus, right? After minimum of U plus, you cannot expect this, right? Because there are spots, there are really spots because you converge. Okay. So great difference with the Brownian diffusion, where speed of propagation depends on every direction in periodic media, and is the Friedland-Gardner formula. Here, the speed of propagation is the same in all directions, but it depends on lambda 1. Huh? It depends on lambda 1, so it depends on the but just on lambda 1, on the principal eigenvalue of this operator. Very nice result. Let me show you a little of proofs. Homogeneous media first. Why the front advances at least exponentially? That very nice method and seem very simple method. It's KPP, so put below F this red straight line. In this way, you have a linear problem you can solve explicitly, and you have subsolutions of your real problem if you stay below the value U equals delta. Okay, a certain delta, and take an epsilon smaller than delta. Start with the initial compactly supported data. After some time, it becomes infinite support, and then just cut the support at height epsilon. Cut the support at height epsilon at two points A and B. I mean dimension one. Okay, run the linear red problem. The solution is explicit because we know the kernel very much how it is for fractional Laplacian, fractional heat equation. Run it some time until you arrive to this value delta. You have to stop then, because if not, there is no, it's not a subsolution anymore. Stop it there. Look where the front, when U is equals epsilon, where did it go? V became larger, V prime, A became smaller, A prime, and compute V prime and B prime and A prime in terms of A and B, and you will see like it progressed exponentially, like a factor depending on time. This will give you the exponential. And now, repeat, cut up the epsilon and run this. And it's just an iteration that gives you an exponential speed, okay? So that's very simple. And then the delicate part is the convergence towards one inside, behind the front, to one, not only to intermediate values, but really uniform convergence to one. And this, we use the blue linear equation, and the maximum principle, non-local maximum principle, and some super solutions of this form, with gamma bigger than one. So these are unbounded super solutions that go to zero inside the front or something like this, or to one. I don't know if this is correct here, but the solutions are unbounded. You could say why unbounded? It makes no sense. We are with a KPP problem, but okay. The point is that I'm comparing the KPP with a linear problem. And once you have the linear, okay, the unbounded thing can be very, and this is my last transparency, can be necessary. This is the last transparency. This is the idea in the paper in the Comprendu du Node with Jean-Charline and Jean-Michel. Look for the solution, look at, as an ansatz, look at for the solution in this way. The first periodic, the periodic principal eigenfunction, which is positive, times a new function v. Write the equation for v. This is a periodic. This is an eigenfunction. Write the equation for v, and change variables because you expect x, the front, to be located at this position. So y is x over this. You expect y to be of order one, where there is the transition. And then what happens is that W satisfies an equation with time, a drift, with variable coefficients, and then the diffusion is multiplied by a negative exponential in time, that when time is very large, it's very small. So this diffusion should be smaller and less important when time is plus infinity. You drop that term and you solve by characteristics this first order equation, which is a transport equation, and you find the solution explicitly, forgetting about the diffusion in the new y variable. And then you get something like this. something that an explicit solution for the transport equation that looks like this. Still, you have the periodic eigenfunction, and now you let this, you get an exponential, okay, but now what we do is to let this coefficient be, this function of time be free, and this is our ansatz. Now you plug it in the first equation, the ansatz, you use the eigenfunction function, and you look for sub and super solutions, you find all these for B that turn out that you can solve, or at least super and super solutions, and be able to prove our result, which is this one. Okay. So I think I'm on time. Thanks for the attention.